Yeah, it's been a great week. It's been really exciting. I mean, 700 still is nothing compared to what we're used to hosting, but, you know, it feels like we're a world away from, you know, full stadium. So 700 people, you know, biggest match in franchise history at home, you know, an opportunity to take on the perennial contenders, you know, that we've beaten once already this year. Guys are ready. The atmosphere is going to be electric. I can't wait.
Yeah, we are still going to be a little, you know, far away from what that stadium used to sound like and, you know, will sound like hopefully in the future when we get to that point. But, I mean, what a season to have this game. I mean, the way that this team started off their season, they were kind of known for getting out of the gate a little slower and in a season where you would think that would be even more of the case where it's kind of a start and stop type of schedule, yet they had one of the best starts, if not the best start in franchise history. So how did this team manage to pull that off in a year really unlike any other?
You know, I think credit always goes to the coaches in that environment. You know, in a completely unprecedented year, well, in any given year, you know, the coach's ability to prepare the players physically, mentally, emotionally for what's to come and their opponents and how to get through games. I mean, I think that's been what our coaching staff has excelled on, you know, through our four-year history. But specifically this year, you know, with hiatus, with uncertainty, with Zoom calls, with lack of training, our guys' ability to keep the players engaged, keep them healthy, keep them going, so that when we did join back up as a team, you know, we felt like we had a head start and everybody was really ready to rock. So, you know, credit to the coaches. They did a lot of very boring work, quite frankly, for quite some time that paid off when we got back together.
Yeah, and they have this great start. Like you said, they're able to keep these players engaged, keep them healthy, and they have, almost a better finish to the season than they had a start to the season. And they go from hosting one playoff game in 3 years now to having home field advantage throughout this postseason, having the best points total in the in all of the USL. I mean, just another amazing step for this team.
Yeah, I, you know, again, I think it might be a little lost at times, you know, as the USL has grown. You know, we got in this league, you know, just before the real explosion took off. But, you know, we're playing Phoenix, you know, a major metro market, you know, big club, you know, San Diego, Sacramento, Charlotte, Tampa Bay. There are so many big cities. St. Louis has a team in this league. San Antonio, El Paso, Albuquerque. We are playing against clubs in big markets, 35 clubs across the country. And to have the highest point total is an unbelievable achievement that, you know, most clubs will never achieve even once in their history. And here we are, you know, with a chance to potentially host through the playoffs. It's incredible.
And what does that say? I mean, the way the USL just continues to grow and continues to draw high-profile coaches, high-profile athletes, I mean, it just seems like there is, you know, this league still has so much room to grow, even though it's made incredible expansions just in the time it's been around.
You know, yeah, I think what's happening here is soccer continues to grab on to, you know, the fan base here in America. And as our country has become more diverse, as top flight soccer across the globe has become more accessible, you know, the ability to watch Premier League on TV, to see national team games, you know, live, you know, that is amped up so much faster than you've got MLS making, you know, expanding into big markets, exciting new stadiums. The pathway, the growth of professional soccer in this country is, you know, it's catching up to where it is in the rest of the world. And I think there's still a lot of growth to come for soccer in this country.
Yeah, I would agree. And very, very exciting to have that proposition in front of us here. And this team in its fourth year has seen some great additions throughout those first few seasons. But somebody like Foster Langsdorf, who's been able to make a huge impact on this team this year, the goal scoring streak that he got on towards the end of the season. What did you think of his play and some of the play of the other additions to the team this year?
You know, I think another thing that gets overlooked that has to be really credited to everybody is, you know, we implemented a new system, you know, being the affiliate of the San Jose Earthquakes. You know, they hired a coach last year, Matias Almeida, who plays a really unique system. Not a lot of teams in the world play it, you know, very intense man marking system that creates a lot of chaos. It creates a really up and down fast paced game. And it puts every player in a position to have to do things a little differently than we've done them in our first three seasons. And so the adaptability has been tremendous. But, credit to Foster for just doing what he does. He's a bulldog in the middle. He's a true number nine. He sticks his nose into every scrum, and he finds the ball, and he finishes. And he's helped, quite a bit this year by Corey Hertzog, who's really taken, a little bit of a back seat, not playing at that top of the formation, playing just underneath Foster, and he creates space. He's still scoring goals, but he's a little less directly the goal scorer this year, but he's fit into that. I think Sergio Rivas is another guy playing in a position that's new to him, a little more of a defensive midfielder, but he's able to turn the ball quick and move it up the field. There's so many guys that have just stepped in and really embraced a new system, and Sam Galito playing left back. I could go on and on. There's a lot of guys that really deserve credit for embracing the system, owning their role, and setting us up for success.
Yeah, and kind of to that point, I mean, the way that this is one of the highest scoring teams in the USL, and it wasn't just two or three guys that were gobbling up the ball and putting it into the back of the net. It was a wide variety of players that got an opportunity this year and capitalized on those opportunities to score goals and just make this team even more dynamic than it has been in the first few seasons that they've been here. And then another strong performance last weekend against LA Galaxy 2 in the quarterfinal just kind of put that, again, put the emphasis on that point with a great performance from Corey Hertzog in that game. But again, a 4-1 win here at home to have that kind of results in the playoffs. I mean, it's incredible. What did you think of that opening round performance there for Reno last weekend?
It was terrific. I think we were definitely the better team than Galaxy 2, but playoff soccer is a funny thing. It can turn on one touch somewhere in the match, and we applied pressure early, and we did dominate that match. And almost after about 30 minutes, didn't feel like a playoff match because we were dominating to such a high degree. It might have been the most complete match that we've ever played. It was spectacular from start to finish, and should have the guys flying, into this match against Phoenix this week, which is a much, much tougher match. But I couldn't be happier with the performance from last week going into this one.
Yeah, just kind of a microcosm last week of the play that we've seen all season long. And now, as you mentioned, they get ready for Phoenix, the second conference semifinal match in club history. And even though Sacramento and Las Vegas are the official rivalries for Reno, I feel like this matchup between Reno and Phoenix has now verged on that level. And so to have this matchup again in the playoffs, again, two of the highest scoring teams in the USL, do you expect this to be kind of an offensive shootout tomorrow, or do you think defense will have its moments and we'll still have an exciting game, maybe not as high scoring as some people expect?
It's so hard to say in a playoff game because both teams have to choose how they're going to play. And one thing I have always loved about the way Ian Russell coaches is that, a lot of teams, when they're up a goal late, will sub off an offensive guy to put on an extra defender. And when we're up a goal late, I feel like Ian subs off a defensive guy to get another offensive guy on. He'd rather go for the jugular than play a prevent defense. So you just don't know what the other team's going to bring. I think you have to be prepared for a battle that's going to shift on one touch and then adapt to a shootout if it happens. But I don't see a shootout in most playoff games. And even with two teams that score a lot, I think that this is going to be a much more tactical, strategic type of match that, could turn on one touch.
Yeah, definitely should be a very exciting game, whether it's low scoring or high scoring. It's going to be a very exciting, very competitive game kicking off tomorrow night at 6 o'clock here in Greater Nevada Field. And some more exciting news, Eric. You guys welcomed 250 fans at the stadium last weekend for the game against Los Angeles. That's now been up to 700 fans coming in this weekend to see the match against Phoenix. If should Reno make it to the Western Conference Final, could we see more fans let in, or would that be about the cap for the remainder of the postseason?
So yeah, that is going to be the cap. We've talked with the governor and with the county health district, and they really were not thrilled about initially giving us the opportunity. 100. We had to work really hard to demonstrate our safety plan on exactly how we were going to do it safely, And so they did give us that 700 number, but made it clear that, you know, 700 is going to be the cap for the remainder of our playoff run. So we need those people who are here to, you know, to be loud. You know, 250 sounded like 2,500. So I'm really hoping that 700 can sound like 7,000, you know, this Saturday, and hopefully for two more.
Yeah, it's amazing when you hear some of the Major League Baseball guys talk, because the NLCS going on in Houston right now, they were allowed to have, or I guess actually Arlington, they were allowed to have a certain amount of fans, and there were a couple thousand fans, and they said it sounded like so many more people were in there than actually were. I think that's because we've gotten so used to silence now in these stadiums that just any kind of natural crowd noise just adds that little bit more of a realistic element back to these games, which is awesome.
It was great. I mean, even 250, just, you know, the purpose of why we're doing this, you know, the players seeing those fans, hearing the drums, hearing the cheers, let's face it, hearing the boos when they don't like, you know, the ref whistle. It felt real again. And I personally had just missed it so much. I mean, it was almost emotional to be back and to be able to have fans again. So I can't wait for Saturday. I won't sleep well. This is what we play for, and it's going to be a really, really incredible night here at Greater Nevada Field.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as a sports fan, I mean, I want to thank you and your staff for putting in that hard work, because whether it was 250, 700, anywhere in between, to have fans back in that stadium is just the best thing. Thank you and your staff for putting in that hard work to make it possible just to have people in there, period.
No, our pleasure. We are here for our community. We only exist with our community, and all along it's been the number one goal is, we know we're not going right back to full stadiums, but we've got to start somewhere, and we have to slowly take those stair steps safely and understanding what we can and can't accomplish. And so, I really appreciate the County Health District and the state of Nevada, you know, giving us this opportunity to showcase, because, you know, our success will ultimately lead to success of venues across the state. And we want to make sure we set everyone up for success and getting back to some normal life.
Absolutely. Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining me. Hopefully, all 700 of those tickets get sold. We can fill that stadium as much as you guys can, make it rowdy, make it fun for the Western Conference semifinal match tomorrow night against Phoenix. But Eric, thank you so much for your time. As always, I really appreciate it, and I hope you enjoy. I know you're not going to sleep well tonight, but I hope you enjoy the match tomorrow.
Definitely, definitely. I appreciate the time, and let's go. Let's go. Let's go get a championship.